Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So many teenagers waiting to be adopted from foster care feel like their lives are over. They've given up hope of having a permanent home and are terrified of aging out with no support system. Right now, more than 113,000 children are waiting to be adopted in the U.S. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is dedicated to finding them the right family before it's too late. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org/learn more.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
1, 2, 3. It's a hard Knicks life. It is a hard Knicks life. A hard Knicks life. Oh, it's a hard Knicks life. It's a hard Knicks life.
What up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry? Motherfucking D.
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hoop.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
And we got two other guests joining us today, guys, in a little bit. This is an epic episode. Is it not, Barry?
What can we compare it to? What's that Thor movie that just came out? Was that like a
Love
crossover event?
You don't want to compare it to Love and Thunder. That was a crappy movie.
Okay. Not a good example.
What do you mean?
Batman
what are we
Superman?
Trying to compare it to right here?
It's like a crossover. You bring
epic?
Two
worlds colliding.
Two worlds together. Yeah. Joined forces.
It's like if, like, you're a superhero guy, Jay. If it's like Superman and who got together?
Batman. Or it's just like a Marvel and DC crossover.
Didn't they fought each other, though, didn't they?
It's like a Marvel and DC crossover. That's how epic this is.
Wow. Who's Batman?
What do you mean, who's
Ben
Batman?
Affleck.
Like, no, who would be Batman in this?
Mm.
I think we would be the Bat. We would be Batman. Oh. They would definitely be Superman. They're more clean cut.
But we have more toys, like all the drops and shit.
Yeah. Oh. And also a little, you know, grittier. A little grittier, a little darker. We're willing to go places that they're not willing to go. You know, Superman's more of a Boy Scout, and that's not Batman, you know? Batman's willing to get dirty.
We are willing to get dirty, and we got dirty on their show. Not sure what they're going to keep in their show. I mean, it might come out perfectly clean, Barry.
Yeah, it just might.
All right, let's reveal who it is. We got together with Knicks Film School, Jonathan Macri, Andrew Claudio, the producer of that show. We got together with them to record a two-part crossover. Part one is airing on their feed, part two on ours. This is part two that you're going to hear in a few minutes once we get through our intros and everything. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It had been, I think, like 3 years, right? Oh, no. Macri came on ours maybe a year ago.
Yeah, but the first time we did this with them was, what was it? Macri and JB.
Macri and JB.
And you and I.
Yes.
Obviously, Knicks Film School, they put out the newsletter, the podcast, really great stuff. Great guys. Some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Do you remember the first time we met some of them? I remember the first time we met Jeremy Cohen, actually, who's not in this.
So do I, because I think that's when we went to that guy John's apartment.
What happened to
the
John?
City? I don't know.
That was the most epic, like, meeting. It was when we were all kind of getting started in this. And Macri wasn't there, right? It was JB.
No, Macri was there.
No. I don't remember Macri being there.
He was there. He definitely was there. I know he was there.
He's in that photo with all of us?
Yeah, he's got to be because he was there. I remember on the rooftop, we were all talking.
But was he a part of Knicks Film School at that point, or was he something else?
Yes, he had just joined Knicks Film School. And I think he had just started doing the podcast, or he was doing it with JB at the time. Jeremy Cohen was not linked to Macri. Jeremy Cohen was doing his podcast with Andrew Claudio, funny enough, Nothing But Knicks. But I remember seeing, because I was one of the first people to arrive, and there was, I think Macri was there and Cohen was there.
Okay.
And that might have been the first time that they met also.
I think.
But Jeremy Cohen looked like a 16-year-old kid just sitting up on the wall. And I was like, aw, who invited this kid here? That's nice.
But John, who was known as Phil Jackson's brain on Twitter.
Right.
Invited, like, out of nowhere, just invited a bunch of us to his penthouse apartment in New York City. I think Schwinny was there.
Or no?
No.
Schwinny Poo was there.
The original guy who did Locked On, Alex Wolf, was there, but then that other guy.
Yes.
I don't remember his name, honestly. But he did Locked On before Alex Wolf, I think. But there was a bunch of us there. It was really cool. It's weird being in some guy's apartment that none of us knew. Right. He supplied us with a ton of alcohol. Barry, you didn't think it was weird?
Yes, from afar. And yeah. Or if you told like a stranger on the street about what happened, or if you told, you know, your cousin what happened, yeah, they would have thought it was absolutely nuts.
But that was the first time we met this like group of guys. And then, you know, we've done some meetups since then. We've all kept in touch. Great relationship, great group of guys. Love Macri, love Claudio. So you're going to hear these two parts. Second part, like I said, is on here. We did a bit that you thought of, Barry. I'm going to tell everyone what it was just so they know what's going on later.
So we each came up with a question, which basically the point of the question is you would be most surprised by blank happening, and we would present three choices to choose from. And we just, you know, went around and did our thing.
All right. Before we get to all that, remember, if you like our show, if you listen to us, you can support us one way only. And it is by leaving us some ratings and reviews wherever you listen to the show. And there's another way to make us feel good. We love getting them every week. You can call us.
That's right. 516-33-MESH-1. You want to piggyback on something that we're saying, or you got a question or comment, that number is always open for you to leave a voicemail.
Yep.
And don't forget, please, please subscribe to the one podcast that needs to pay its respects right now. This is devastatingly sad news for our It's a Hard Knicks Life family.
Our country across the pond, right? The Queen.
It is
You're not talking
the
about the Queen?
No, even though we should probably pay respects to the Queen. This is bigger than the Queen.
Bigger than the Queen.
Blandy, play voicemail number one.
Hey, fellas, it's DB. First off, very glad to have you back. I'm glad that Craig survived his Fast and Furious moment. Speaking of surviving, my shithead dog is, in fact, dead.
I called it, Barry.
Deader than the Donovan Mitchell deal. He's been put out to pasture like Pablo Prigioni. So maybe you can play a lone bugle for all the dead shithead dogs out there.
Wow.
But I got a new dog, and you can hear her. It's a girl, which means that she's a raging bitch.
That was it.
I told you that bitch crazy.
That dog's already shaping up to be another asshole, the fucking barking nonstop.
That's got to be a really tiny, just yappy dog. I told Barry before that's what it was. I said, I bet you DB's dog died.
Yeah, I heard. You told somebody in the family.
Yeah.
We were talking about it at the start of the part one with Knicks Film School, where Macri wasn't on. It was us with Claudio waiting for the king to get on. You know, we all got 9:15. We all got to be there. I did jump through so many hoops to get there at 9:15. Did not want to disrespect Knicks Film School. And then, yeah, I mean, you got to wait for the big stars, you know? So we had to wait a little for Macri. So we were talking about, I teased that somebody died in our Hard Knicks Life family. And Claudio was instantly like, oh boy, this is going to be a dark one. Yeah, well, that was how we got started. And then Macri didn't know what we were talking about. I went to go use the bathroom or something. And I could hear Blandy and Barry taking guesses.
Yeah,
all right, guys.
Hypothesizing.
Yeah, so if you were going to bet on it, it sounds like Blandy, you would have won. Speaking of betting, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events. jackpot with first to market odds and lines. Keep it coming, man. It's the only good part about this right now. Find reviews and news for every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports info, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and get your first sports bet. Use promo code BLEAV50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Show me the money!
All right, guys. So without further ado, we're going to get started here. Part two of our crossover with Knicks Film School. All right, Knicks fans, here we are with Jonathan Macri, Knicks Film School. He's joining us here for, this is part two of our I'd Be Most Surprised If bit. We also have Knicks Film School's esteemed producer, Andrew Claudio. What's up, Claudio? I'm saying hi to you first, because you're the real star here.
The real star. Wow. Yeah. That's not true, but thank you. I'll take it.
Oh, wait. No offense. No offense, Macri. We will get to you in a minute.
Producer to producer. You understand the workload.
The man behind the scenes that puts in all that time deserves the credit, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. And as somebody who admires your work as a producer as well, I also give you the credit for the success that is A Hard Knicks Life.
Oh, thanks. I was about to do this whole thing where I was like, and now I want to bring in our producer.
that's you.
Introduce him, and it's fucking me. All right.
And I
ruined it. What's going on here? How you doing?
I'm well, Craig. How are you?
We just finished up part one of this amazing bit. If you want to hear part one, go to Knicks Film School YouTube channel and anywhere you get your podcasts, right? If you're not listening to Knicks Film School, I don't know what rock you're living under, all right?
Probably a rock outside of New York would be my guess.
We have had some of the butt.
Oh, here we go. I forgot about Blandy's drops. Can you repeat that, Blandy?
We have had some of the butt.
What was that, Barry?
We have had some of the butt.
Yeah, you know what? That would go really, really well with like...
Do you want my pants off or on?
Yeah, that would go well with that one.
That's a good one.
People ask you if you want it in the butt.
See, there we go. It goes really well with that one,
wow,
too. Look at that.
Do you see the difference here in podcasts?
I completely forget the context of which I said the thing about the butt.
I remember it.
You do?
Yeah, it was so... You and Jeremy were talking. That narrows it down. He asked if you could talk about Bradley Beal. You said,
yes,
sure.
That's what it was.
And then he was like, we've heard a bunch of scuttlebutt lately. And you were like, we have had some of the butt.
Oh, well, that made sense.
Yes. Aaron Judge hit home run number 60, by the way.
That's good for him.
Oh, yeah. I got the game on, yeah.
Yeah.
Check that out.
This is your actual Knicks Film School crossover. Me derailing a Knicks conversation with baseball. No,
because of what we did to you in the first part on your show.
If you missed it, go tune in to part one to find out how part one was derailed.
I stand by part one's intro being good.
Good.
I will stay on my island.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Macri because you're our guest. Why don't you start us off with "I'd be surprised most if."
So my question is going to relate to a player that I have a reputation for being a hater of, even though I am not at all. Very big fan of this player. Very lots of high hopes for this player. It's going to be RJ Barrett, an RJ Barrett related question. So I would be most surprised if, and I'm borrowing this from something I think I said on the pod recently, maybe it was in a newsletter, I forget, but because I think there needs to be some improvement areas for him this season. So here goes. I would be most surprised if RJ Barrett was a league average finisher for his position at the rim, if RJ Barrett tripled his number of pull-up threes, or I would be most surprised if RJ Barrett averaged, I'm going to up the number from last time I talked about this, if RJ Barrett averaged 5 assists per game. Getting into the nitty gritty here. And I could give you, if you want, the specifics on those. So last year, RJ hit 23 pull-up three-pointers. So I'm basically asking for him to do to hit about a little less than a pull-up three per game. A little bit less than Evan Fournier hit last year, and a good deal less than Emmanuel Quickly. And to be a league average finisher at the rim, he would need to make... We'll go by last year's league average for wings. He would need to make 63% of his shots at the rim. He last year made, I want to say, yes, 55%.
All right. Yeah, I'll start if you guys don't mind. So that's a really good question, by the way.
Well, thank you, Barry.
Because I think he is due to get better at finishing at the rim because he's been driving to the rim his entire career, and we're going into year four. So I think he's learning. I think he's doing what he's got to do, and I think he's getting stronger and smarter. So I think that will improve, and that is not my answer. He's spoken multiple times this offseason about how one of the biggest things he's working on is pulling up off the dribble. So I think those numbers are going to go up as well. My answer, as far as what I'd be most surprised with, is 5 assists a game. I don't think that's happening. He has not come anywhere close to that. He's, I think, averaging 3 assists a game for his career. And now, you know, with Brunson next to him, who's not a big assist getter either, but he also hasn't been a lead point guard. So his assist numbers should
important
go up.
Caveat.
Yeah. But yeah, I would be extremely surprised if RJ averages 5 assists a game. I just don't see that happening.
I'd be so shocked, even though RJ is my favorite Nick, and I want to see him improve in this area. But I can't believe that he's going to finish at the league average for at the rim, because he is so bad in there.
So just to give you an idea of where 55% at the rim in, that put him at the 15th percentile amongst wings, which is the lowest percentile for anyone who played at least 2,000 minutes. The only players who played more than 1,000 minutes and finished with a lower percent, wings I'm talking about specifically, finished with a lower percentile of makes at the rim, where Luke Kennard made 54% of his shots at the rim. Norm Powell made 52% of his shots at the rim. And then Landry Shamet, who was classified as a wing in cleaning the glass, made a robust 50% of his shots at the rim.
Isn't that sad?
It is a bit sad.
But like, doesn't it seem like, I know that that's the bottom of the barrel for those numbers, but if I had to guess, it seems like RJ hits like 1 of 4 shots at the rim. You know, we joke around all the time about how he lumbers down the lane and how bad he is, and always sort of. He always misses, so.
And what makes it worse? What makes it worse is his free throw percentage. You know, like if he's not going to finish at the rim, but he's going to get a call, and then he can't hit those free throws, it just makes it that much worse.
I didn't include a free throw multiple choice answer because he's at every interview he's done. So I guess 2, the one to Madame Knight, and then to Knicks Fan TV. Shout out to Knicks Fan TV. He made sure to say he's been working on his free throws and he's going to make more free throws next year. So I actually think the free throw thing is going to go up. Blandy, do you have an answer for this? Because we have 2 different answers so far.
I'm going to go with Barry with the assists.
Wow.
Truthfully, I don't really think, like, I don't see him taking that many more pull-up threes. I don't necessarily see him finishing better. But
like Macri said, it's like less than 1 a game still.
Like, I think the assists per game is just too difficult when you consider Randall and then adding Brunson to the mix. I don't see Barrett as that kind of a ball handler. And with the other two guys, no way. There's no way he gets even close
and,
to that.
You know, he's shown that he can pass and he's a good passer, a really good passer, actually. It's just the frequency at which it happens. You know, I don't see it.
I don't see the offense running through. Like, I see the ball ending up in his hands for him to score. I don't necessarily see the offense running through him as a distributor.
Yeah, and in defense of that guy, that your guy's answer on that, every year he's right around 2.5 to 3 assists. He hasn't
and again,
he's improvement.
If he was like in a different, if he was in a differently run offense, maybe that's something too, where guys are constantly moving around and guys are all of a sudden, you know, popping wide open and he dishes it off to them. But I mean, this offense is so stagnant. And I don't know if the addition of Jalen Brunson is going to change that.
Well, I'll say this, a couple things. For starting, I the date we always go with on this stuff is January 1st. I'm pretty sure that's the date for this, too. From January 1st or December 31st.
December 31st.
Yeah, December 31st. That's it. Thank you. I think he averaged 3.5 or 3.6, one of those. 3.5 or 3.6 assists a game. And there was another stat that someone pointed me to on Twitter a few months or a month or so ago about how he, like, the average shooter coming, like, shooting shots off of passes from RJ was, like, much, much worse than league average. And the numbers, if you look at passes he makes to shooters, like, by and large, except for Fournier, nobody hit anything off of passes from RJ. So, like, I made it 5 and not 4.5. I think maybe 4.5 would have made it a little bit more difficult, but I agree. 5 is a lot. A jump of 8% at the rim seems a lot, from 55 to 63% at the rim. That seems like a big jump. And yet, I'm going with the pull-up threes. The notion that he's going to triple his pull-up three-point makes from 23 to 69, I would be shocked.
It is a big number.
It's a big number. It's like, 69 pull-up threes doesn't sound like a ton, but that would put him into a very, very different stratosphere. I'll say this, of the three, it's the one I would want the most from him by far. Because if that dude hits 69 pull-up threes next year, I'm not even sure I care that much about what percentage he made them at. That would be big.
So you don't think that he'll be 69 is not going to happen for him. He won't be 69ing or nothing like that. You just want to make sure.
It's not just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
Just checking.
We are now officially out of Knicks Film School land.
No. I love it. You're in this dirty, dirty world, Macri. Welcome.
I don't know why the visual that I just got was like, remember the Super Mario Brothers movie where they went into like the pipes?
No.
You never saw that movie?
Is that John Leguizamo?
I know that there was
a
Super Mario Brothers movie.
What did they do in the pipes?
I don't know, but it was very like dark and dingy. It was very seedy. They had a Yoshi dinosaur down there, I think. It wasn't a very good movie, but you should watch it for unintentional comedy.
But Macri is so PG that when you mention 69, his mind goes to a Mario video Mario game.
That movie, I think, was rated PG-13. I'm going to look that up. I think that was a PG-13 movie. It should have been if it wasn't. There was some adult content in there. Is Andrew answering this question?
No.
No? Okay, never mind.
He's shaking his head no. So.
Andrew doesn't want to have his voice recorded on this episode after that.
I got to be totally honest, I completely forgot the question, but...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He's RJ's a pastor's have son. A,
yes. Pastor Claudio says hello. And also, I'll say that RJ has a better season than last year. That's the
good answer.
Extent of my... I'd be surprised if he doesn't do that.
Okay. Who's
right,
next?
Barry. I think Barry. I think we should go to Barry now.
Okay. This actually ties in, and it's there's an aspect to this that's very close to what we were talking about. And it's funny you mentioned 4.5 should be the number, because it's the number I have him at as far as assists regarding RJ. So we talked about the Knicks. Well, I don't know if we talked about it, but the Knicks obviously have more scoring options now, and guys are going to have to share the ball a little bit more. But as far as assists go, it may increase for some guys and it might decrease for some guys. Like Jalen Brunson, we talked about, he was never really a lead guard before. So for him, it makes sense he'll go up. But for a guy like Randall, who won't be expected to play make as much, his assists will probably go down. So with regard to assists per game this season, which would surprise you the most? RJ Barrett averaging over 4.5 assists per game. Jalen Brunson averaging more than 7.5 assists per game. Ooh. Or Julius Randle averaging more than 5 assists per game.
Which would
And surprise. If you need a little reference, we already talked about, you know, Barrett's career average is 3. Brunson's career average up to this point has been 3.7, but again, different role. And Randle, the last 2 years, you know, on the Knicks was like between 5 and 6.
Shock me at all if Brunson's over 7.5.
Brunson, I don't want to give my answer yet, but I do want to add some context to this, because I did the went back and looked at the game logs and did the math on this. In games that Doncic sat last season, I believe Brunson's average for assists in those games was 7.
Yeah, that was, I mean, the hardest number for me to put on Brunson. You know, again, this new environment, new team, the whole thing.
Man. I like where you set the numbers. You set the numbers, I think, at the right one that would surprise me the least, actually, is Randall at 5. That would surprise me the least because, again, you want to talk about even last season when he was very, very bad. Didn't he average over 5 last season, I believe.
Yeah.
If he wasn't at 5, he was very close.
I think he was at 5.
Yeah, and like, that part of the question is basically, like, do you think Randall will have a far different role in this offense? And I'm not sure I see that. So for me, it's down to Brunson and RJ. 7.5 is... I'm just looking up how many guys average... How many guys do you think averaged 7.5 assists a game last year in the league?
I would say maybe 7 or 8, you think?
7.5, there were 10, including Kyle Lowry averaged 7.5 assists on the number. And then above him, here are the guys that average more than 7.5. LaMelo Ball, Jokic, Halliburton, Garland, Doncic, DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, James Harden, Chris Paul. It's a tall ask.
Yeah.
Whew. I'm gonna go Brunson. That would surprise me though. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm gonna go Brunson. I think I could see him getting 6, 6.5 on this team with Barrett and Randall.
That's the other thing. You need a lot of these guys to be efficient for him.
And like even like you could see him playing minutes with Rose and with Quickly, in which he's playing more off the, like when Luka was out last season for Dallas, like who were Dallas's other playmakers besides Brunson? Like he was relied upon to do a lot of heavy lifting. I don't, unless there's again injuries, I don't foresee that being the case this year. But that's a good question.
Yeah, I guess that's what it comes down to, right? Is he going to be more facilitating or is he going to take the lead offensively because there isn't anyone else that is that great themselves, right? I think it's a tough choice between RJ and him. I think I just want Jalen to get those numbers so bad where I want to believe that he can get 7.5 or 8, even though it might be more unlikely. So,
I mean, he's probably an all-star if he gets 7.5 assists because he's going to score.
I'm going to say RJ with the 4.5. I just don't.
Why do you hate RJ Barrett?
I don't see that happening.
Just an extra assist and a half. Come on.
That's a lot. I don't see that. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Brunson's going to hit 7.5 either. I just don't see, with the addition of Brunson, I don't see Barrett getting that many.
Right, but you're right. You were mentioning just before about how he's probably going to finish more and not give the ball back up.
That's a good question.
You got a question, Blanderson?
I do.
This has to be. By the way, if anybody didn't catch part one,
Just a reminder,
you can get that at Nick's Film School, and you want to hear Blandy's first question.
Shut your mouth, funny guy!
Would you be more surprised if Blanderson asks a good question here?
Oh, God.
Or if Macri's microphone goes out?
No, so no respect. No respect at all. You.
I love these drops.
All right, let's hear it.
Here we go. All right, so this is a Randall one, and you know obviously we're all questioning how much of the offense is going to run through him and stuff now. So I'd be most surprised if Julius Randall led the Knicks in usage rating again this year, shot above 35% from three, or played fewer than 35 minutes per game.
Okay.
This isn't that bad.
Okay.
Because there's two ways that, you know, your surprise questions can go. It's like the ones that are like really hard to reach, or the ones that like any of these are actually possible. It's a good question.
I think there's an obvious answer here.
Who led the Knicks in usage rating last year?
Oh, it had to have been Randall.
Randall?
Yeah.
It was.
Randall. He was
28.7?
Yeah, and even this is what I think a lot of people don't realize. Even if you go from that December 31st date onwards for just the Knicks as a whole, I think RJ was like a percentage point or two above Randall from that date forward. But Randall's usage was still massive, even after RJ took on a bigger role. I want to talk this out loud for a second. It would not surprise me in the least if he played under 35 minutes a game. That would not be surprising to me. So really it comes down to, would it be more surprising if he shot above 35% or if he led the team in usage?
See, those two wouldn't be surprising to me either. Especially the 35%. I mean, I know he's only done that once before, and that was that 40% season. But I mean, he was close last year. I think he was at 34% last year.
I gotta tell you, I'd be
31% last year.
I'd be surprised if he led the team in usage.
I'm looking at RJ.
But now that I say that out loud, Brunson, because here's the thing about usage rates, so we should clarify for any of your listeners who may not know. If you get an assist, does not go towards usage. You could lead the league. That's why Chris Paul, his usage rates are usually under 20. They're not high, even though he like leads the league in assists, because you don't get it for that. It's shots and I think just shots and turnovers and like possessions that end in free throws. So like even Brunson being
none of these are that crazy.
Right, but that, I mean, for me, that's what makes it a good question.
It's a good question. I'm going to go with the 3-point percentage. It would surprise me the most if, I can't believe I'm saying that. It would surprise me the most if he shoots above 35% from three. Because that would mean 36
Is that league average now? 35%?
I'll look it up right now, but league average is usually around 35 or 36, but I will look it up right now.
And that would surprise you the most if he fucking shoots league average?
Only because talking it out, him leading the league leading the team in usage,
it bothers you. But is it realistic?
That's the thing. It's like I could see Brunson. Like I Brunson's going to get a lot of shots, but I also think there's going to be a lot of possessions where he has the ball, but he's passing the ball to somebody else who shoots. It would not surprise me if Randall had a higher usage than Brunson, and then it just comes down to Randall or RJ. And like, would it shock me if Randall had a higher usage than RJ? Not really.
He averaged 35 minutes a game last year, 37.6 in his monster year.
So league average 3-point shooting for a while now. Wow, this is funny. It's kind of stayed in like a very specific zone for the last like 15 or so years. It's been between 35.5% and 36.5%. Last year was 35.4.
I'm going to go... I got to go with the usage. It would surprise me most if he leads the team in usage. Because it would surprise me a lot more than him, you know, shooting 35% from three or, averaging less than 35 minutes. I mean, those are things that kind of need to happen.
I'd actually be surprised if he averaged more than 35. But that's me.
For me, it's with Macri, it's the 35% from three. He's only done it once in his career. He shot that 41% 2 years ago, that magical year 2 years ago. Every other year, he's been below that, 30, 27, 22, 27. So, listen, I mean, it might be league average, but it's not his average. So, I'm going with 35%.
Good point.
I think that might be the best. Good job, Blit. Wow. You started off slow, but you came back with a vengeance.
I surprised everybody.
Maybe Randall will do the same.
But I would love nothing more than for Randall to prove us all wrong. Would you not, Macri?
Oh, I think there are downsides that can come with him playing very well this year. I am rooting. I'm not going. I'll never root against anyone wearing a Knick uniform. I'm sure there are some fans who do that. I will not ever be one of them. I will root against him taking like 20 plus shots a game. I don't want to see that, but I won't root against him making shots for sure.
See, my question here was Julius. I don't know if I should do this one.
But it's do you have a backup question?
I've got some backups, of course.
You were told to have backup questions.
All right, here we go. This is Obi, one of my favorite Knicks. I'm so glad he's still on this team.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about Obi too much.
Talk a little Obi, because he's almost gone, right?
Come on.
Almost fucking gone. Would have been devastating to me.
Would it really have been devastating to you?
Yeah, I think he would be the hardest Knick for me to let go of for some
really
fucking weird reason. Yeah, over Grimes and Quickly. I'm not saying it makes sense, but I think we all get attached to weird Knicks at some point.
Right.
And Obi's my weird Knick. I almost bought a jersey of his last year.
I think Quickly would have been the toughest for me on a personal level to lose.
Quickly, I agree, is also tough.
Yeah.
Those two are tough. All right. I'd be most surprised if Obi Toppin, A, averages 25 plus minutes per game, B, at some point joins Julius Randle in the starting lineup, C, is traded during the season as part of a package for a star player, or D, reveals he's actually terrible once he gets increased playing time.
Just going to throw this out there. Yeah, this is a tremendous question.
It's a great question.
You have to throw the, option D in there.
Yeah.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
This is not easy.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yeah, I'll try to answer that.
If he starts one game, that's sufficient?
With Julius?
Yes.
No.
I don't know. Claudio's shaking his head no, so now I feel pressured into saying no.
Well, okay.
So minimum of how many? Minimum.
So I think it does make sense that it's got to be a few games. I mean, it joins the starting lineup, I don't think can be for one game.
Then allow me to posit that I think that it changes to being not a great question, because that is the notion that he would start on like that's the lineup decision that they would make affirmatively to start Obi Toppin. That's that in what world would that ever happen?
They fire Tibbs and get a modern coach that wants to play them together.
And what are you going to do with the $25 million worth of center that you invested in this summer?
Well, one of them was probably already out for the year, so you're settled there. And then you have Hartenstein back it up.
They wouldn't just elevate the guy who's healthy to the starting lineup and then have
your
OBP
point is fair. Yeah, so let's go back to one game that they
one
start
game.
Together.
I think that at least makes it interesting. Like, both centers happen to be out, and like instead of Sims starting, they decide to start Obi.
I really didn't want it to be because of injuries. More of a choice. Whether that's to go smaller. I've seen some crazy tweets where people are saying Julius is slimmed down, could play the three, maybe.
I mean, look, Lauri Markkanen was a starting three last year. Bobby Portis at times was starting three last year. To me, though, that's the obvious then. If it's like they have made a move and it's like Obi Toppin is now starting at either the three or the five, or Randall's starting at the five and Obi started, like, that's easy answer for me of those four.
All right, Blandy?
I mean, listen, I don't see him playing 25 minutes a game. I don't see, you know, we talked, I think it was last week or the week before, I read that article. Fred Katz had an article on the Athletic where he was talking about how many minutes there were to go around. And based on the way the rotation is set up, I mean, there's no way there's 25 minutes a game for him. There's no way. You'd need to have like a major injury, I think, to Randle for that to happen. I also don't see them starting together, though. This is tough, Craig. I'm going to go with the minutes per game. There's no way. There would have to be a catastrophic injury to Randle. He'd be out for the whole year. It's the only way it's going to happen. Or if they trade Randle, I guess.
Just quick counterpoint to that. Let's say Randle misses 3 weeks with an injury. And during those 3 weeks, Obi Toppin averages, you know, whatever, 38 minutes a game. If you take those 38 minutes a game over those 3 weeks and you balance
it
out.
Average it out.
And then you average it out. If Obi's getting, let's say Julius is getting 30 a night normally, and Obi gets 22 a night normally.
Your lips to God's ears.
Because they're playing together for 2 minutes a half, which I don't think is insane, as much as Andrew will continue to make fun of me.
Math is already killing my brain.
I'm saying like 38 minutes a game or something like that over the course of 3 or 4 weeks could balance out 22 normally to get you above 25. That's why I don't think that's a crazy one.
Yeah, I would have, see, if you're done with your points, Blandy, I got to go with the starting lineup one, only because I don't think Thibodeau wants to put a lineup like that out there. I think he likes having a 7-foot guy in the back of the paint to be there to rim protect. You know, and as much as we want to envision Obi just, you know, soaring through the air and being this great rim protector, It's not something that he's proven, and I don't think Thibodeau is going to give him the chance to prove it. And I don't know if I would do that either. You know, when you got Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein out there as your centers, and again, to be the anchor of that defense is why I'd have to go. That would surprise me the most.
You think it's more likely that he's terrible? Come on.
I think the terrible one is...
I mean, yeah. I think that's more... That is more likely, unfortunately.
The terrible
one
would be my...
As great as he was at the end of last season.
Yeah, I think the terrible one would be my second... If the starting the start choice wasn't a choice, and if we go to he just starts one game with Randall, I would choose him being terrible as the thing that would shock me the most. I really don't think that's going to happen. Because I don't see... The way he plays and the way they use him, I almost have a hard time seeing how he would reveal himself to be terrible. Because it's not like they're going to try to turn him into Randall with like high usage and like back. Like I could see if they tried to like post him up on the block, 10 times a game and he just couldn't do it. But they're not going to do that. So
right. Like he's terrible is a very strong word. Right. Yeah. He plays in the flow of the offense. He's not demanding the ball. Yeah. They're not setting up plays for him. Chances of him being terrible in that role. Yeah. He kind of just takes what's given to him, right?
Yeah, and even if his three-point shooting fell back off from where it was at the tail end of last season, like would that make him terrible? I don't think that would make him terrible. It'd be unfortunate, but...
All right, I think that should basically wrap it up. Macri, Claudio, this was great.
Pleasure's all mine.
Yeah, if anybody missed the beginning, go check out part one. You don't have to listen to these in order. It makes no fucking difference. Claudio, thanks for producing this show. I've never had this before.
You're welcome.
Just let me know when the edit's done, all right?
You will get an email in the morning. All of this is... cut all of this.
The edit of our show.
Oh, I'm editing both shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Macri, you're excited about that.
Sounds like you just had some of the butt.
We have had some of the butt.
Macri, anything you want to plug?
Jesus.
Anything I want to plug? Speaking of some of the butt.
Oh, God.
Did I do it?
Oh. It was sitting right there.
Hey, now.
teed that one up like Judge's 60th. Anything I want to plug? Yeah, just anybody listening to this who wants more Knicks content in their lives, come check out Knicks Film School podcast and the YouTube channel. And there you go. That's it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having us on your show, and thanks for being on ours. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Peace. Yes! 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 Yes!
All right, guys. That was fun. That's like more Knicks talk than we've ever had in an episode.
That's true.
Yeah, a little bit more than last week. By the way, I should mention this because we got to talk about some other stuff than the Knicks. My brother-in-law, total agreement with me on washing faces.
Speaking of which, Jay had the line of the night last week when you were talking about how you don't wash your face, and we were like, really? And Craig's like, how do you think I maintain this? And Jay's like, what? Maintain a dirty face?
Thanks, Barry.
But I don't have a fucking dirty face, Barry.
I mean, I think if you took a microscope to it, we'd probably find some shit in there. And not literally shit, although you never know because you don't clean your ass either.
Oh, God.
And I have you to thank for this. Whenever I'm in the shower now cleaning my asshole, I think of you. So thanks for that.
Me?
Yeah, and how you don't clean up inside your asshole. So now I have that thought. While I am
hold on,
business down there.
Because you said you actually get all the way in your asshole. Jay, do you do that? Am I?
What do you mean?
I mean literally getting inside the hole.
I don't go knuckle deep. I don't mean that.
But you go inside the hole.
I get just below the rim. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yes, I do that.
What do you mean? No. You insert in.
I don't just take a rag and like run it through like you're running a credit card. Like that's not
just past daylight.
A little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more than that for me too. But I'm just saying I don't go in.
No, I don't go. Like, listen, you're not. I'm not losing a knuckle or anything like that. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, but are you losing like the tip of your finger?
Yeah.
Or do you put use a washcloth?
Yes, I use a washcloth. Yeah.
That first tip of your finger. that first to that.
I mean,
first
but it's
crease.
In the washcloth, so I guess you know.
I think of you when I'm in the shower now too, Barry. Which is
if that's
weird.
Not. I don't want to. That's a drop right
I
there.
I did this morning as well. That's, I have.
That's a drop.
I must admit, I have washed my face a couple times since the last show.
Good. I'm proud of
because
you.
Because when I'm in there, Barry gets in my head.
Oh.
About. So this morning, I worked out quickly before work and I jump in the shower and I was thinking about how Barry was like, you work out and then you've got like that sweat.
Yeah.
And you don't wash your face. You'll feel better. I haven't been feeling great lately. So like, maybe he's right. Maybe I just need to wash my face. So I did that this morning. I thought about you the whole fucking time.
Those are going to be, I'm going to be using those quite a few times. Let me tell you.
You want some more drops for me?
The two of you thinking about each other while you're in the shower.
I thought about Barry the whole time I was in the shower.
It's good to know.
All right. Y'all hear that music? It is time for the news with Blanderson Hooper.
Here it is.
Brought to you by nothing.
No Clarkson.
So sad. Like every time we do that, I want to say brought to you by Clarkson Avenue Crumb Cake Company.
You could still say it.
By the way, can people show their support for Clarkson?
I don't know. I got to find that Instagram post again. I'll look to see, and then I can send it out.
All right. You should send that out.
All right. Let's start this off with the crazy Kyrie story. Here we go. Earlier today, 10:32 a.m. to be exact, he tweeted out the following. If I can work and be unvaccinated, then all of my brothers and sisters who are also unvaccinated should be able to do the same without being discriminated against, vilified, or fired. With a finger cross emoji, which, okay, cool. This is where he lost most people, though. This enforced vaccine / pandemic is one of the biggest violations of all caps human rights in history. So you got like a ton of comments like, you know, you got the Holocaust, you got, you know, slavery in the Americas, you've got Cambodia and the killing fields, you've got the Armenian genocide, you've got, you know, Rwanda, Bosnia, the massacre of Native Americans. And then you've got having to get a vaccine in order to keep your job in the year 2022. It's right up there with one of the biggest human rights violations of human history.
Blandy can talk about this for like 20 minutes.
Oh, probably. I definitely could. I could go on and on, but I won't. I won't. Anthony Edwards, we talked last week about his comments on social media. We talked about how the NBA was investigating. The NBA has handed down a $40,000 fine for him using offensive and derogatory language on social media, which again, as Barry mentioned last week, came about because he posted it himself, not because somebody overheard something or taped it. He posted it himself.
Shot it, said it.
Yeah, and then posted it.
Posted it.
It's all him. all him. Linsanity. Today, a trailer dropped from HBO for a forthcoming doc that they have about Jeremy Lin and Linsanity. It's titled 38 at the Garden. The title comes to the 38 that he dropped against the Lakers back in 2012. It'll cover his time on the court with the Knicks, as well as the cultural impact from him reaching the heights of, you know, professional basketball and one of the few Asian Americans to play in the NBA. And then last but not least, the NBA is expected to undo the rule that's been in place for the past 17 years when they raised the age limit from, or they raised it from 18 to 19 to be eligible for the draft. Looks like they're getting ready to lower it back down from 19 to 18. If they can come to an agreement between the NBA and the Players Association, they could reinstate that as soon as 2024. Right now, you have to be at least 19 years old to enter the draft during the calendar year that the draft is held and at least one season removed from high school graduation, or when high school graduation would have been if you hadn't graduated. Michael Jordan, the jersey that he wore in game one of the 98 finals, just was sold for a little under $10.1 million.
Ooh, what?
Wow. Yeah, went up for auction. And along with that, pair of tickets to his very first game, October 26, 1984, are going on the auction block soon, and they're expected to go somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000.
$10 million for a jersey? How much would you pay for a Marcus Camby game worn jersey?
Like a max?
I don't know, $90?
Actually, what would you pay? What would you pay for a Michael Jordan jersey?
A game worn one?
Is it autographed at least?
And you can't resell it after.
Is it autographed?
No.
No?
Which, the one that he's talking about or the one that I'm talking about?
Both.
Let's see. The one that yours is yours autographed?
I would pay more if it's autographed. But maybe $750, Craig.
$750.
I'm a hardworking man.
It is not autographed wealthy. Or it's not?
No, it's not I'd want it to be autographed. Otherwise, I don't want it.
Well, that's the way the basketball bounces.
All right, guys, that's going to do for today's show. Remember, you can reach out to us. It's harnickslife@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @harnickslife. Barry @BarryDworkin and Blandy @BlandyHooper. Thank you to Nick's Film School for letting us on your show and for joining ours. And remember, you can call us.
516-33-MESH-1.
You've been on for a while, so I'm dying to get off. You, Blandy?
Yeah, I'm dying to get off, too.
Ooh. Oh, I'm going to get off, and in the morning I'm going to be thinking about Barry in the shower. Think about that. Think about that. 8 hours from now, Barry.
Yep.
It's going to be you and me in the shower.
Oh, God.
Nice. All right, guys. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
It's a hard Knicks life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.